Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. We will continue our review of the new details around Robert Cremo, the shooter of Illinois who shot, at this point, 7 people have died, more than 20 or 30 people injured. And so we have new evidence today emerging. We know a little more about the guy, not the kind of evidence that I would want. I think it's still not resolving to me the questions that I've been asking yesterday, but it's evidence that gives us a little more insight. Today I will present evidence that we are probably faced with some kind of a cross-dressing, transsexual, Jewish pedophile. And you know, there's not necessarily a link between these three things, but there is evidence emerging on these three separate fronts. On the one hand, Fox News publishing this finding that he was Highland Park July 4th parade shooting suspect, entered a synagogue near massacre in April, seemed out of place. A rabbi said that Robert Cremo III entered the synagogue wearing a yarmulke, so the little beanie hat that Jewish people wear. So I believe he may have been self-identifying as a Jewish person. Did he have family links in the Jewish community? I don't know. Certainly it seems that his family was not necessarily frequenting this synagogue because he got kicked out of it. But that doesn't mean he's not Jewish, at least in the self-identification sense. Perhaps he was trying to adhere to a faith, that he believed he belonged to. Perhaps he has Jewish history in his family, but his family may not be practicing the Jewish religion. Goaway says maybe he was trying to assassinate the rabbi. That's definitely another possibility. Perhaps he was studying the possibility, the ease of entering a synagogue for doing his own synagogue-based shooting, as has happened in the past. So all of this is possible. There's no sign to me that one of these hypotheses should be preferred over another. What we've learned also about his family is that his family situation is as follows. His mother is a single mother hottie. In fact, there's a whole genre of porn that is born today on 4chan. People are now sifting through the pictures of his mother, who's one of these old women that happen to also be sexy. And there's apparently she was frequently posting very sexy pictures on her Instagram, sometimes dressed up, but sometimes suggestive pictures where we would see her boobs, but not in full. So a whole new fascination, a MILF porn type of fascination with the shooter's mother has developed into the good people of 4chan. That's very interesting. His father was, his family, apparently his father was not with his mother anymore. He was a mayoral candidate for the town, but didn't win. So the current mayor of the town is not his father, but he ran for mayor. And apparently he was benefiting from a free apartment rented or owned by his family, his father or mother or both of them. So basically this guy was living without the pressing issue of finding money to survive. He was truly one of these kids of luxury who don't have to work for what they do. So basically he was surviving in a small apartment with just a bed, but he didn't have to work even for this. So that makes me think that perhaps his family was aware that he was an unfit in society, that he would not be able to work, and somehow they created a kind of family welfare for him to maintain him alive, but that may be what led him down the road of violence eventually. I also have seen a post on Reddit by someone who claims that they had filmed a documentary with this shooter and that they were all distraught, the team that was filming the documentary to document his rapper endeavors was very distraught that he was carrying with him a sex doll in the effigy of a child. So basically a very young looking sex doll. I will not show these pictures, but I don't have a way to confirm that this is a genuine documentary that was filmed, but the person published pictures and claims that the shooter had a sex doll that was in the effigy of a child, so basically a pedophile sex doll. They were very distraught by this at the moment of filming the documentary. So another element here, a lifestyle of trying to frequent a synagogue but being ejected from it because he didn't look like he belonged. So being basically rejected by the Jewish community for not being Jewish enough, for what, I don't know, and turning to a life of laziness, living at the expense of his parents in a small apartment, and dreaming about these acts of violence, and also masturbating into a sex doll that looks like a child. Those are the evidence that have emerged today. Plasma has sent a super chat before the show began. He says, "Hey Jeff, how did we miss 47 being 4/7, the way the Americans write the date? This number is a lot to this guy." Americans would normally write 7/4. The month would be first, if I'm correct. But I don't think that the 47 is an indication that he intended to shoot a July 4th parade, because the 47 was tattooed on his face for more than a year. He looks like he has explored various possibilities of acts of violence that he could commit across the years, including attacks with knives. That's why I titled that he had his knives confiscated by the police. That's another element we learn from today. You know, the Democrats keep wanting to have firearm controls, but this is a guy that had announced that he wanted to kill everyone with his knives and sword, and he had his knives and sword confiscated. But there's no system in America to then say, well, future buying of weapons by you should be barred. Because if you don't prosecute, the person has rights. You know, they were not found guilty of a crime. Basically, they have surrendered their weapons because they just didn't choose to go get the knives back from the police. But in effect, if there is no prosecution happening, the person is free to go, and he was free to eventually buy the weapons that he bought legally. So there's a big problem in people wanting to do firearms control, but they don't realize people have a whole lot of rights that they could assert in a system of firearms control. Based says, "Speaking of which, have you considered the number sequences being related to numerology and gematria?" I have done some research on the numbers. I'll get to it very soon, but I want to read John Jay's super chat. John Jay was saying, "JF," he sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "JF, any thoughts on the number 47? About 10 years ago, a rapper called Capital Steez became obsessed with 47 and later committed suicide." I don't know about Capital Steez. I think it's an interesting possibility. I've learned more also today about the reason, the kind of the line of rappers that this guy comes from. So one of his inspiration, he was adoring. He had a T-shirt that said "Sad Boys" and that was featuring a Pepe character. And people have been mistakenly claiming that this was associating this guy with the alt-right. But I don't think that the sad boy's Pepe character is a sign of link to the alt-right. In fact, doing research on this, I'll answer to your question, John Jay, after I'm done describing this, but it seems that the Sad Boys are a group of rap that do sad rap, the kind of rap we've seen yesterday, where he becomes extremely emotional at times, rapping his stuff. And so it's a type of rap, and there was a Russian, I believe, or German, some guy in Eastern Europe who traveled a lot in Europe, but I believe comes from Eastern Europe and was oscillating, I believe, between Eastern Europe and moving to Norway or Sweden at some point in his life. Anyway, he was the kind of rapper inspiration for Cremo. And he was doing Sad Boys, and Sad Boys is actually a mockery of the Proud Boys. Apparently, Sad Boys are are a form of parody of the Proud Boys, and they do sad rap, the kind of sad rap that Robert Cremo was doing. And the guy creating this kind of music originally and becoming the inspiration of Robert Cremo described that back in the days, he was talking about killing babies in his rap because he was inspired by Eminem, and that's all Eminem was doing. I don't remember Eminem saying he was killing babies, but certainly Eminem has had provocative statements of all kind about drugs and killings and violence. But that was the comment by this rapper. And so eventually they grew out of imitating Eminem in terms of doing this violent rap thing, and they became Sad Boys in the sense that they started doing sad rap, emotional rap. So John Jake, concerning your question about 47, I think it's a very interesting hypothesis. Perhaps we should research whether Capital Steez was among the influences musically for Robert Cremo. But I think mostly that 47 is a reference first and foremost to Hitman, because he also had the suit of Hitman. And so basically, and he also has a reference to Lee Harvey Oswald. These three things combined from his video clips and his imagery tell me that this guy was suggesting to the crowd, I will be the hitman that kills Donald Trump. That is what was on his mind with 47. And 47 is probably also a very important key in decoding his numerically ciphered book, which I've been working throughout the night. I've been up until 6 a.m. this morning, so I had to sleep a little later than usual because I've been running algorithms on this book encoded in ciphered numbers. My research was not conclusive. I don't have an answer as to what's the encoding. In fact, everything that I discover shows that we're not faced with an amateur encoding that would be easy to decode. It's going to be hard to decode this. I can update you about the level of my research and what I discovered, but basically it's not a simple ASCII encoding that will be easily decoded. Go away, says JF. Sad Boys actually predate the Proud Boys by about 4 years. Was founded around 2012 by Young Lean. Okay, I didn't know this, but apparently the wearing of his Pepe t-shirt was apparently somehow an opposition to the Proud Boys in some way. So I don't know if the group existed before. If what you say is true, they did. But the link to Pepe and the whole and they were talking on social media against the Proud Boys and against the January 6 people, and it seems to be the context in which he was wearing this t-shirt. Dead Star says, so what's next? JF gives the news on satanic cults and on Christmas Eve. John J sends $25. He says, Young Lean, he is Swedish. Sad Boys is my favorite music group. Ah, okay. it's funny how things intersect. An old member of our audience who's been here for a long time somehow knows the Sad Boys already. Very interesting. Well, it seems that they were part of the inspiration for Robert Cremo. Artemis sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, have you seen the number 23 with Jim Carrey? This whole story reminds me of this movie. It's a film noir type of movie with an obsession on the number 23. He's so obsessed that he ends up being a criminal. Could you also review it? Ah, I've watched this movie a long time ago. I would have to rewatch. I'll rewatch it tonight. I don't think there will be much to say about this. Maybe Robert Cremo did have this in his head. I don't know what's the meaning of the 23 in the Cremo imagery. Okay, so let's have a look at my findings concerning the numbers. So I'm working first and foremost with this page that was copied from the Amazon book. You know how Amazon allows you to look into the book? Well, before Amazon deleted the book from the internet, someone had taken a screenshot of this page. And the book published by Robert Cremo has never been decoded. It's a book filled with just a series of numbers. There's no space, no structure. So the first thing to notice is there's no structure. There's nothing that would allow us to guess what is a letter, what is a word, what is anything. So we are not lucky on this side. We're going to have to figure out how to translate this into words. So as I point out, someone extracted it to a paste bin with some errors. So don't trust blindly the paste bin because it's there are some errors in there. I've corrected some of them, but I'm not done sifting through all the errors. I don't have a way to verify the authenticity of the JPEG, but someone encoded some message in there, perhaps the shooter himself, and I want to understand what it means. So absence of structure, poorly encoded in numbers, no space. At first glance, this looks like some kind of substitution algorithm. Each given series of numbers corresponding to a letter of the alphabet. But then the question arises, what is the pack of number we should consider? Is a letter encoded in two numbers? Possible. Is it encoded in three numbers, four numbers? I don't know. So we start with the hypothesis, okay, what if I take packs of one number, two numbers, three numbers? And then the question, if you're at two or three number, is what is the offset? Should I start with two? Should I start with three? Or should I start with nine? Because this is a cross page. There was a page before and there was a page after. So who knows if we are at the middle of an encoding here. So you have to consider all possible windows and all possible offsets of windows. The first analysis occurs when considering just a single number. So what if I consider each of these numbers and I ask about the statistics of each number? How many times will we find number 2, 3, 9, 0, 3, 8, etc.? Well, look at this. The number 0 appears 294 times. The number 1 appears 280 times, number 2 270 times, number 3 355, 4 411, 5 369, 6 395, 7 426, 8 313, and 9 145. So basically, the 9 being less used is a typical feature of an algorithm that didn't need as much numbers as were allowed by the chosen alphabet. So this tells me this algorithm didn't need the whole 9, And so this tell me perhaps it's an algorithm that encodes from 0 to 100, but the last characters, 90 to 100, were not very often needed. Perhaps someone just needed 91, 92, 93, but not 94. Perhaps they were characters that were less used. That is very important, to find that there is a underrepresentation of the number 9. But what's surprising is there's an underrepresentation of the numbers 0 to 2. 0, 1, and 2 occur less often than 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's not a simple case of underrepresentation at the end tail of the non-used characters. It is it is an underrepresentation of the lowest characters in this alphabet. So this this indicates it's not going to be easy. It's not just a pack of 30 letters of the alphabet used and then nothing. There's probably some layered ciphering here where some the numbers that we see don't mean exactly in ASCII what they should mean. I've done the analysis, then the same analysis, but with windows of 2 and with windows of 3 characters and with all possible offsets. And it's stunningly similar what I obtained from this. Basically, at windows of 3, the numbers 300 to 800 end up being overrepresented, and the low numbers and the high numbers end up being underrepresented. So the middle numbers are overrepresented. You have an inverted U-shaped curve. So whatever is encoded in there is going to be complicated. It's going to be very complicated to recover. It doesn't easily pop out. And the same thing is true at windows of 2. So Ryan Dawson had an hypothesis. He said, looks like gibberish. The numbers by the pinkies, 9, 8, 1, and 0, are pressed less. You just typed a bunch of numbers for the sake of being mysterious. That is one hypothesis. The overrepresentation of the middle number would be explained by the fact that we tend to type more at the middle. Very interesting, but I don't think someone takes the trouble of encoding a specific series of numbers in an Amazon book without it being some kind of a message. So we're back to the five numbers identified in the video: 23, 47, 115, 159, and 333. I am pretty sure that any solution to the decoding of the book will involve some kind of using these numbers as keys, but I don't know. I've been digging through all of the cryptographic algorithms. I don't find anyone that evidently depends on five different keys. And so I've started studying the numbers themselves, started looking, what if you multiply pairs of these numbers? Do they end up giving the other number, or some multiples of the other number pairs? I didn't find anything obvious. I tried possibilities of adding, multiplying these numbers together. Maybe if you multiplied all of them together, you end up with a key. Maybe the key can be used if you know which algorithm to decode in, but it's not clear to me which algorithm could use these as keys. And I've been also trying these websites that do that kind of stuff automatically. None of them have found anything meaningful in the series of numbers. So I'm left with complete misunderstanding, complete lack of understanding of what this book means and what is the algorithm being used. Hopefully the police could recover this. Artemis says, how many pages was the book? I showed a page in yesterday's show where they give the number of pages. I think it's something like 18 pages. But the page that I showed in yesterday's show has just been deleted on fandom.com. So it was the only place that had documented the contents of this book. Go away, says JF. Could it be some kind of PGP encryption with a key hidden in some of his music videos? Or does the underrepresentation of 9 discount this possibility? Been a long time since I played around with PGP encryption. The underrepresentation of 9, unfortunately, doesn't allow us to discount anything. Because it could be, I was headed toward a ASCII substitution type of algorithm because 9 is underrepresented, but it can very well be that 9 is underrepresented, but randomly. If this is all encoded with a substitution, complex substitution algorithm of some kind, it may be the case that 9 ended up being underrepresented, but that truly it represents an actual underrepresentation of 2 or 3 or 4. Perhaps 9 has no particular meaning. Perhaps there are non-linearities in the decoding algorithm such that it's just a random fact that 9 ended up being underrepresented. So it's a thing that's fun when you discover it, but it's not a knockoff that allows you to exclude hypothesis, unfortunately. And as far as PGP encryption, yes, public key, I tried various things. The problem is, how can you imagine the number of possibilities with these 5 numbers? I mean, I tried, what if I multiply this by this and that's the key? But then what if I multiply this by this by this? What if I do this by this by this? There are too many possibilities, too many possible algorithms, and too many possible combination of these keys. It's not clear to me. Artemis says, Jeff, I can't find any standard encoding or encryption algorithm that output only numbers. So this guy would have created his own. I don't think he's that intelligent. I mean, you can definitely have some kind of algorithm that leads only to number. Caesarian ciphering methods allow you to arbitrarily associate letters with anything, including numbers. So if he chose to put only numbers in, then it's what he's going to have. Plasma says, do you have a notepad/text file version of it? So I don't have to type it all by hand. I wrote a multi-method decoder in MATLAB during lockdown. I got into ciphers. Well, go check the paste bin from my Gab account. But if you want to also contact me through Discord, I have corrected a couple of errors in the paste bin. So contact me via DM on Discord and I'll give you everything I have. Steven Robinson says, JF, I agree the numbers are bullshit. I once knew a crazy man, trans woman, trans DJ, who was always talking about Arcturus aliens, civilization in other star systems, was obsessed with psychedelics and Star Trek. Crazy is irrational. As long as it gets attention, it will continue. Well, Arcturus are aliens. So you know what Arcturus mean? Because Arcturus, as far as I know this word, is just the word of the Robert Cremo's project. He called it the Project Arcturus. So is that some alien reference? I don't know about it. I'll be interested to hear. Plasma says, Jeff, did you do a letter count and try seeing if each of the chosen numbers repeats in sequence in the letters? I've done this manually and visually, but I've not done a systematic analysis. That is definitely needed. The problem is, if we're faced with some complex encoding, then the numbers are not directly tied to letters. So this may fool you. But yes, I tried looking for punctuation marks. I tried looking for repeatable sequences that would indicate, okay, this is often used in a text. I haven't found anything of that kind up to now, but I've done it only visually and personally. I've not run a systemic algorithm on this. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions tonight. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Stephen Robinson says, look deep into the new age and you will find Arcturus. It may be a star like Alpha Centauri. Corvine says, Arcturus is the brightest star in a constellation. Don't remember which one. Very, very interesting. I wanted to talk about yesterday, but I didn't get the chance. Introduction to bioconservatism. So someone called Yukimaru wrote about, we have to develop an umbrella term called bioconservative to point to anyone who wants to halt the genetic modification or genetic enhancement of humans worldwide. He talks about the revolutionary phenotype, among other things. He says that I am a bioconservative. I like this idea that that we could have a term for the activism part of it all. Bioconservative makes sense to me because when I talk about the revolutionary phenotype, I talk of it as a scientific theory. That's what it that's what matters most to me first and foremost. But it's true that it leads to a political belief and political activism, the possibility of claiming that we should stop genetic modifications because it will lead to our own destruction. It's a very good little blog post that describes different positions, and some people believe in bans, whereas people like Ted Kaczynski believe in more than bans, believe in we have to actively combat the progress of technology, and we have to hope for a de-technologization, basically, of the world. I love the overview, and so if you want to go read it, it will be in the description below. Evidence has emerged that the shooter was disguised as a woman. And people are on 4chan were pointing out that it's kind of a genius move. You know, woman can do no wrong. So apparently the disguise of this guy as a woman has allowed him to escape the police for about 8 hours yesterday before he was caught. And he was caught because of his car, basically, because his car had been identified. So there he is. I don't know. Was he truly dressed as a woman here? I think that if those were braids, that would look like woman-like. But those are actually straps for his backpack. So I don't know. Was he truly disguised as a woman or just a feminine man? Both are possible. I'm not super convinced by the photo, but that's what people have been claiming who published this photo. Ben Bradley said WGN investigates has obtained an image of the suspected parade shooter dressed as a woman. Police say he wore the disguise to aid in his escape. John J has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Papa, where did you see Sad Boy's comment on the Proud Boys or January 6th? Lean's mother is a half-Jewish LGBT activist, so I wouldn't be surprised, but regardless, his music is very good. I believe it was a post of 4chan that showed this picture in its context. I would have difficulty finding the link back to this, but perhaps I can find it. But I believe that the context of this post was his friends cheering for something against Proud Boys. Was it on Instagram or Twitter? I don't remember. But I remember seeing more context about this photo and being convinced that this hypothesis that the Sad Boys here was a kind of a loose parody of the Proud Boys was convincing. I would have to do research because I don't have the link readily today. So what we have is a suspect who frequented a synagogue but got rejected from it, who dresses as a woman, certainly here, a woman wearing a NASA suit, as someone was pointing out yesterday, and, you know, these little hair pigtails, feminine pigtails in pink, and dressed as a woman also. So I don't know if that means he was transgender or just some kind of edgy cross-dresser of some kind. In any case, today the mayor of Philadelphia says, "I'll be happy when I'm not mayor," Philadelphia's Jim Kenney tells reporters after July 4th shooting. Oops, we'll have to load Twitter to just be able to view that video.
Everything we have in the city over the last 7 years, I worry about. I don't enjoy 4th of July. I don't enjoy the Democratic National Convention. I don't enjoy the NFL draft. I'm waiting for something bad to happen all the time. So it's I'll be happy when I'm not here, when I'm not mayor and I can enjoy some stuff.
You're looking forward to not being mayor?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
So the mayor of Philadelphia is so worried about so much things that he's just waiting not to be mayor anymore. It's getting him very tired to have so many events to supervise, being afraid that some shooting like this happens. Go away, says JF. Where's the tattoo under the eye in the trans picture? Well, apparently he may have been wearing makeup. That's what people looking at this picture have been concluding. So if he has been wearing makeup, then that would confirm that he's basically dressed as a woman. And if he has put enough makeup, it should obscure his tattoos. In fact, I had not noticed, but I don't see any traces of his tattoos. So perhaps he was covering them with a technique with makeup. Very interesting observation. Shooting suspect charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder. And in speech just miles from Highland Park, Harris makes a full-throated call for assault weapons ban. Speaking in Chicago just miles from Highland Park, Vice President Kamala Harris pointedly told Congress to have the courage to act on an assault weapon ban and to stop protecting gun manufacturers. Yesterday it should have been a day to come together with family and friends to celebrate our nation's independence, and instead that community suffered a violent tragedy. Well, that's the argument we have every shooting, but let me remind people that we don't obstruct on the rights of the many innocents because someone commits a crime. That is always back to this argument. It's not because there are shootings that we should deprive people of the right to bear arms who have not committed shootings. Of course, that's a hard one for Democrats, but it comes back every time. Highland Park suspect had 2 prior incidents of suicidal violent threats. Police say there was no indication Robert Cremo had firearms at the time of these incidents. And of course he didn't, my understanding is, or they didn't know at least. So he bought these firearms legally after having these troubles with the police. He was taken into custody Monday morning, okay. In April 2019, an individual called police a week after learning of Cremo attempting suicide, Covelli said. The matter was handled by mental health professionals with no law enforcement. In September 2019, a family member reported Cremo had a collection of knives and was going to kill everyone. Police responded to the incident and seized 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword from Cremo's possession. See, they keep telling you it's a mental health problem that we have. The big problem is there is no evidence that mental health professionals are able in any way, in the long term, to stop violence in society. A mental health professional can come into a situation and talk to someone who's depressive, and perhaps they can give him, at times, on a probabilistic basis, they can give him the impression that he got better, and they can get him to shut up, basically, about his suicidal thoughts. But here we have a case where a suicidal person may have been made worse by mental health professionals. Who's going to evaluate the mental health professionals? Who's going to include this shooting as a failure of mental health intervention? Because 3 years ago, this guy got handled by a mental health professional again. You know, and we're starting to see more and more mass shootings that emerge fundamentally from people being frustrated at the mental health domain, not getting the services they would have wanted. We had a little buffering by Tillman, but it seems to be good now. Buffering has been improving, definitely. So it's becoming less of a problem, but thank you for reporting. No one evaluates the competence and degree of success of mental health interventions. Therefore, these mental health interventions are a form of welfare that, you know, these mental health professionals drain money from the state. They claim that they do something, but they have no way to determine if what they do is good or bad for society, because no one's ever going to go back to the health professional that consulted with this guy 3 years ago and tell him, you were wrong, you led to a shooting. I'm not claiming that there was necessarily a causal role, but I'm claiming if we want to know to what extent these mental health interventions work, we would have to measure all possible health interventions, see how much of them lead to less shooting, and how many of the cases where we didn't have the intervention and led to how many shootings, and we could balance out and claim, okay, mental health intervention reduces or increases shootings. But we're not there, because mental health is not subject to proper studies, proper review, and proper blind studies, most importantly. Go away, says JF. I'm a Second Amendment advocate, but this is getting ridiculous. I'll be turning my rifles into my local police department tomorrow. The solution starts with us. Go away, our dear Australian intelligence agent, always here to seed his fed comments. Thank you for being here, go away. We love you for who you are, but your job is crap, and it really sucks that we have to hear on this chat the propaganda of the Australian intelligence community. Fuck you. Fintronaut says, mind reading is practically impossible. Our mind's mechanisms to reserve signals for ourselves rather than blurt them out. Could this explain why we view ourselves as somebodies rather than as zombies? I disagree. Minds are accessible through communication. So when someone says something, I can guess what they mean. I can basically read their mind through the proxy of what words they use toward me, what facial expressions they use, whether they seem sarcastic or not sarcastic. So it's possible to understand the mind of others via their behavior. And it's often what people will do. They will express their feeling with the hope that you develop a view of their mind. Perhaps they are appealing to your empathy, to your care, to your whatever. They are trying to change something inside of you that relates to them. And as such, I would not claim, in fact, that the mind would have evolved to blurt, to hide something from other people. In fact, I claim that the mind evolved to give you the delusion that you exist as a single being, and therefore to socially being able to claim that existence. Because basically having a mind was the shortest way life found to convince other people that they should respect that mind. Basically, it's basically Robert Trevor's concept of self-deception for the purpose of deceiving others. Well, life said, all right, since it's so much easier to manipulate people when you have emotions, let's give humans actual emotions. Let's create that virtual feeling that they exist as a self, and that will allow them to manipulate other beings better and to fit better in the social standards of communication in this species. That's what happened in my view. John Jay sends a super chat. He says, the number 47 is associated with mind reading and astral projection. Well, that's definitely a possible link, because based on what we reviewed yesterday, this guy was commenting that he was like the sleepwalker, kind of dissociated from his body, and that even him was unable to stop the shooting, and that perhaps there was a cosmic recipe determining him to do something. So those seem to be linked to the theme of mind reading and astral projection. This guy experienced his mission to do a shooting as something that he couldn't stop himself. That came from the sky, from heaven, or from some control center outside of him. Harold sends a super chat. He says, Adam Green is live right now. He just said he would be up for doing a show with you. All right, I'll try to find his email and I'll contact him and we'll see what we can talk about. Again, I've not been fascinated about interacting with him because I like that he exists. I think he's a different guy than me, and I want him to be fully fabulous in his exploration of his crazy hypotheses. But it's not the way my mind works, you know. I'm a hard scientist. I need proof for every piece of intentional claim, and Occam's razor plays a lot in me. Now, to me, taking current events and loosely connecting them to events happening 5,000 years ago in whatever Jewish Bible or whatever, and saying, okay, they're trying to reproduce this plan, and everything that you see today is related to the building of the third temple prophesied in the Bible, I find this a little too loose for me. I think they are much, much more proximate, much more simple mechanism explaining why we observe certain degrees of corruption in the way the world affairs work. But I love that he's out there just defending his view. So I'll totally speak with the guy. Based says, Adam Green could also tell JF a bit about gematria and numerology as he covers it frequently. Yeah, I know about gematria and numerology, but at this level of decoding the guy's book, it's not useful to know the details of gematria and numerology, because we're really at the fundamental question, what is the freaking algorithm that this guy used? And this can only be answered statistically and by analysis of the patterns and numbers. You don't want to commit to a subset of algorithms. You want to approach this text with the hypothesis that it could be any of those. Sam says, JF loves real diversity of people. Netflix should hire him as a diversity consultant for 2 BTC per month. That is true. That is true. I don't know that Netflix would do that, but that is true. Fintronaut says, replace mind reading with thought reading and minds with thoughts. But even then, thoughts are constantly being shared by human beings. So I wouldn't say that thoughts are emerging in our mind to blurt out or to hide them from other people. In fact, I believe all the contrary. They emerge in our mind and we typically share them. So it's more of a communication goal than an obfuscation goal evolutionarily. R. Kelly removed from suicide watch at Brooklyn Prison. All right, good news. R. Kelly doing good, despite knowing now that he's going to spend a long time in jail. And we have heard that Amber Heard was asking the court to toss out the judgments against her. She says that as a matter of law, the evidence presented by Johnny Depp was insufficient to find her guilty. That's really a technical motion. The goal is not to win it in the court, but she's doing so for eventually preparing an appeal, an argument on appeal, and perhaps the Court of Appeal or the Supreme Court could eventually decide, all right, Johnny Depp, even if he got supported by the jury, he didn't present sufficient evidence that would address the big question, which is, did she commit defamation? It's an interesting case. That does she have a shot at winning this in the Court of Appeal? Certainly. Could be 50% of the chances, I would say. She might win, she might not win. The question is, can judges look at one piece of evidence, any piece of evidence presented through this whole trial? Is there any one piece of evidence that could be sufficient to prove defamation? I think the justices will be bound to respect the jury here. And that's usually what they do. I mean, you have to have an extreme case of absence of evidence in one domain of the demonstration required for a appeals court to eventually overturn the finding of a jury. Because if you really go to what's necessary to prove defamation, well, there has to be a lie. Has there been evidence that it was a lie that Johnny Depp committed sexualized violence? You could say that yes. You could say that because the jury is totally allowed to completely ignore every single piece of evidence pushed forward by Amber Heard. So the jury has the right to say, all right, here's a video of you with your face all fucked up. You look like you've been beaten, but we don't believe it. We think you're lying. We think you were faking your own injuries. That's totally within the space of what a jury can do. And that's how it will be reviewed at the Court of Appeals level. But then the court, for one example that could lead a Court of Appeal to overturn this finding would be if they conclude that Amber Heard didn't make the statement in the title, the statement that was using the word sexualized violence. So then it will be the question, did the complaint make a sufficient advancement of facts, and was enough facts brought into the trial for the jury to interpret the title of the article as coming from Amber Heard for purposes of defamation suits? Does she bear some responsibility, at least through her tweeting of that title or posting that title on Instagram? Harold sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Occam's razor would suggest that Zionist control of the US is not a coincidence and comes about because of intentional actors, and Adam shows all of his sources for any conclusions he comes to. Well, that is certainly not Occam's razor. I'm willing to consider an argument based on sources and someone saying, look, JF, this statement looks like this person intends this. But that's not Occam's razor. That is arguing based on citations, arguing based on stated intent. Occam's razor is a totally different thing. Occam's razor, if you would apply it to the whole, basically, Zionists are trying to recreate the Third Temple theory, you would apply it and you would conclude it actually doesn't matter if a given number of people believe they're building the Third Temple. What matters is why are all the other people who don't believe in Judaism acting in line with their project? What is the causal structure, the minimal causal structure I have to invoke to explain something like, say, the invasion of Iraq at the request of Benjamin Netanyahu by the US? That's an application of Occam's razor. What's the minimum I have to invoke? Well, the US invaded Iraq. Israel wanted the US to invade Iraq. There are lots of agents of Israel who are paying in American politics to make sure that their will be followed by American politicians. That's all I need. I don't need any more than this. I don't need a religious theory of their inner motivation, you see. Russia demands Israel cease its air aggression against Syria. Israel carried out yet another strike on the Syrian coast this weekend, which reportedly wounded 2 civilians. Russia has been getting more forceful in its denunciation of these strikes. Russia on Monday condemned the latest and other recent attacks as categorically unacceptable. All right. We'll see how Russia can handle these multiple fronts, because they've been securing Syria for a while, protecting their interest in there. Perhaps we might have a worsening of tensions between Israel and Russia. What else do we have tonight in the news? Canada's health minister says you will never be fully vaxxed. This is the new right way to think about vaccinations. Despite increasingly compelling data and peer-reviewed studies coming out detailing the harms and side effects of vaccination, Canada's Liberal Socialist Coalition government is doubling down on vaccinations and appear ready to move the goalpost on what constitutes vaccine compliance. Canadians will be required to get a COVID shot every 9 months for the foreseeable future, says Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos. Previous definitions of fully vaccinated made no sense, he told reporters. 9 months is very clear and will help people understand why up to date is the right way to think about vaccination now. Fully vaccinated makes no sense now. It's about up to date. So am I up to date in my vaccination? And here we go. Your body has been turned into an inkjet printer. And you are now dependent for the Canadian government to respect your rights in full. You have to get a medical procedure that comes with some risks. No one denies this. At worst, you may think, oh, the risks are low, but no one denies that the vaccination comes with risk. And there's no evidence that these risks diminish after you've had 3, 4, or 5. If anything, there's evidence that they increase, that the more your body has been exposed to it, the worse the secondary effects will be. So you'll never be fully vaccinated in the same way. You'll never have a cartridge that will last you all of your life on your printer. You always have to buy new cartridges. DeSantis team responds to Newsom ad saying Florida residents should move to California. Florida Governor DeSantis has responded to California Governor Gavin Newsom's advertisement encouraging residents of the Sunshine State to move to the Golden State. The people of Florida pay no mind to the pathetic smear campaigns from the Democrats and their allies in the corporate media. We're too busy enjoying the freedom Governor Ron DeSantis has created in the Sunshine State. Okay, both governors are going at each other. Doesn't matter to me. People will naturally flock to the places where it's best to live, and California will find itself with the state-dependent populations that it's been wanting for so long. And Florida will find itself with the right-wing people attracted to the freedoms of this state. We're witnessing a stunning breakdown of law and order, and the overwhelmed police seem powerless to stop it. That is the last news item for tonight. This country is not the same place that it was 10 years ago. In fact, it is not even close to the same place that it was 5 years ago. Violent crime is out of control in many of our major cities. And there aren't enough police to handle it all. So in many cases, a police officer literally never shows up when someone reports a serious crime. Unfortunately, the number of serious crimes just keeps going up. In 2020, we witnessed the worst spike in violent crime in US history, but 2021 was supposed to be a year when rates of violent crime started going back down. Of course, that didn't happen. And now 2022 is on pace to be even worse than either 2020 or 2021. Well, that is what the leaders of our nation have wished for us. They have been deactivating our prosecutorial processes. They've been liberating criminals on bail. So everything is made to leave more criminals on the street. And on top of it, you have the rise of the left's argument, basically excusing criminal conduct, excusing aggressive behavior toward policemen, presenting people who get arrested as victims of police abuse, and all of this together leads to a society where crime is more attractive. John J. sends a super chat. He says, "No, Jeff, lots and lots of people think that the vaccine has no risk. They don't care to look into it at all. My grandmother, for example, on both the pro-vax and anti-vax sides, for the average, it's more about feeling than facts." It's true that there may be some people out there who don't believe at all that there are any negative effect to the vaccine, but you wouldn't hear these people in a debate. You know, they are people who are not informed at all. And if you really digged, if you really talked to them and said, "Wait, are you telling me you think you can put this thing in your arm? And you're telling me there is zero people who have ever died from it?" They would, of course, remember the media coverage where they said, "Oh yeah, there's a rare side effect of blood clots." There's no one serious, no one with any sort of degree or any sort of knowledge of the field that would claim there are zero side effects. That's what I meant. Dead Star says, "Any love for the Tour de France, JF? So far this July, the race has been epic. I hate this thing, the Tour de France. I think that bicycling is a low-level sport of the worst kind. I cannot believe that they make a sports around this. It's like you have a bicycle. I don't care about how fast you can reach with a bicycle. So much of it is influenced, the performance is influenced by the wind. I don't care about how good you are at making yourself hydrodynamic or whatever. this is not a sport, it's not interesting. People are cycling just to go back to the starting point. There's no goal, there's nothing productive being done. And on top of it, this domain has been so taken over by people who consume drugs that I don't know that it's even possible to win these things without some form of physiological adjustment. And of course, the physiological adjustments are getting with the years more and more subtle. Basically, the question is not anymore whether you are doped. The question is, how can you dope yourself subtly enough to pass under the testing standards, but to still have your performance improved? That's basically what people are after. And Deadstar says, a lot less drugs than the fighters you love. Well, I claim my right to sports preferences. I just have a sports preference. I think that cyclism sucks. Good night. Well, go away. Our informant from Australia has sent a super chat, so why don't I take the time to answer it before closing the show? Go away says, do you know anti-lockdown activist, the Aussie Cossack? He was just sentenced to 10 months in prison for naming a pedo at a freedom rally. The pedo's case had a court-ordered suppression order, making it a crime to even mention his name. Thoughts on suppression orders? Do they have their place in society? Personally, I'm very much an American style of guy. I like the way America handles it, which is it's your freedom of speech, and you should have the right to cover any trial. And justice in the dark isn't good justice, because it's justice where the judges don't have to feel accountable. I hate it, and I hate this European conception of justice secrecy, so I'm totally against that. The whole idea of justice is that part of the punishment is the public humiliation of everyone knowing that you are a criminal, that you committed this crime. So I object to the Australian way of doing things. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.